see. That just sounds so cool. And perhaps you're fascinated by the intersection of finance, management, and entrepreneurship. Or if you're interested, or maybe you're interested, because you hope to raise venture capital for an entrepreneurial venture you're cooking up in your parents' garage. In that case, what schools should you be at? What subjects should you take? How do you best prepare yourself to go down either the PEVC professional path or to raise the big bucks for a groundbreaking idea so that you can indeed break some ground? In either case, our guest today, whom I will introduce in just a minute, has the data and insights to provide guidance. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of Admission Straight Talk, our podcast. Thanks for joining me. Before I introduce this week's special guest, I would like to introduce you, our listeners, to two related resources at Accepted. First, MBA Insight, Focus on Finance, an instantly downloadable special report where we collated the academic, extracurricular, and career service resources that top schools in finance offer MBA students. And then, Accepted's post related to entrepreneurship and educational options in that area. We will include links in the show notes at info.accepted.com/36 to Focus on Finance and the post. But don't go there yet. Stick with me as I introduce today's guest. Our special guest today is Andy White, Senior Research Associate for PitchBook. He wrote a couple of posts earlier this fall that caught my eye. First, I noticed one October morning that on Twitter, a tweet with the words "Top universities producing VC-backed entrepreneurs" was getting retweeted over and over. It was like everywhere I looked. I had some interaction with PitchBook then and was directed to another post also written by Andy White called "Harvard, Four of the Schools Make Up Most MBAs at PE and VC Firms." I thought it would be valuable to have Andy talk about his research on Admission Straight Talk and invited him here today. With that little bit of background, I want to welcome Andy to Admission Straight Talk. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, just to start with, can you just give us an overview? What is PitchBook?
So PitchBook is a financial research firm, and what we mainly focus on is tracking the private equity and venture capital industries. So what we do is we compile data about everything that's going on and within those industries, including, you know, the companies that are getting funded, companies that are getting bought, who the investment firms are that are investing in those young companies or buying out those, you know, mature companies. We collect data about the law firms, the iBanks, you know, all sorts of other different service providers related within the industry. And we also do collect some information regarding the individual people who work at those firms and the companies, the entrepreneurs, all sorts of things like that. So just sort of the whole view of the space, just to provide a little bit more clarity into the private equity world, which is, as you may know, you know, rather hush-hush, and people would rather not give as much information as we're trying to get from them. So
it's a little bit of a, sounds like it might be a little bit of a cat and mouse game, but it also sounds like you are really trying to be the encyclopedia of private equity, that you'd have information both for people seeking funding as well as for those with funds seeking investments. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right, yeah. You know, there is a lot of publicly available and, you know, proprietary data out there that we go and get, and it's just a matter of going and getting it and aggregating it and making it usable for people. So that's kind of what our goal is.
Well, in on a very, very, very small level, I think that's what we did with the resource I talked about, MBA, you know, the focus, MBA Insight, Focus on Finance. We just went and collated information that is publicly available but can be sometimes a little bit hard to find all in one place. And it sounds to me like you're doing, again, much, much more on a much grander scale. But, much, much grander scale. But that is what that resource is. Now, how did you come to do this career research that attracted my attention?
Well, one of the more recent initiatives that we've been doing on sort of our marketing and editorial side is launching the blog, which is where I posted the two articles that you mentioned earlier. And, you know, the blog is another way for us to sort of get our information out there in an interesting way. Essentially, you know, it's sort of a marketing avenue for us, but it's also gives us a way to put out some interesting ideas. So, you know, we launched this blog, and people were just kind of coming up with ideas of interesting things to post and writing some articles. And so I, having done research here for a couple of years, or almost a couple of years now, one thing that I noticed a lot was that we're seeing the same schools, you know, mentioned over and over when I was doing research on particular people, where it's like, man, everyone's going to Harvard, everyone's going to Stanford, you know. So I thought, hey, that's kind of an interesting thing to look at. I think it was a way for me to highlight some of the data that people might not necessarily think that we would have.
Right.
And, you know, I think when you think about financial research and things like that, you don't necessarily think that personal data like that about people would be as useful, but it is pretty interesting. You know, there's a lot of relationships in business. So,
oh, yeah.
Being able to sort of track that through universities and things like that, I thought was an interesting way to look at it. So, and also, you know, it was sort of, when I wrote these posts, it was sort of school starting time, so.
It was apropos.
Yeah, that's what I thought, so that's kind of.
I recall there was also some tie-in to the football season, wasn't there?
Yeah, you know, it was.
Top 10, the Big Ten or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, just kind of, you know, doing a different sort of ranking than like the football rankings for schools. And you know, that was more of a just sort of a fun way for me to spin it, but
it worked.
Yeah. So that's kind of why I got interested in that. I just sort of seeing those same schools over and over, and you know, just kind of catches your attention a little bit.
Okay. Well, just to for those people who didn't see the post, and we will link to those also in the show notes. The top universities for the Big Ten. For VC-backed entrepreneurs, I'm looking at it on my screen, we're number one, Stanford, then UC Berkeley, mm-hmm. Penn, Harvard, MIT, Cornell, University of Michigan, UT, Carnegie Mellon, and the IIT. And there's quite a range in terms of the numbers. For details, I would suggest you go to the post. But Andy, why do you think these schools are so successful in this area?
Well, you know, it is kind of a difficult question to answer, but I think that there are several reasons for sure. You know, one of the reasons is you look at this list of schools, and clearly it's some of the top universities in the country,
sure.
You know, and the world. You know, so typically, I think those types of schools attract incredibly motivated, you know, intelligent people who are, you know, very able to sort of think outside the box and come up with these new ideas, and they're very driven typically. So I think that it's no surprise there that it's just the pool of talent that they're drawing in.
Okay.
I think another reason is, you know, these schools' physical locations is definitely kind of telling. I mean, Stanford and Berkeley especially are right in the heart of the startup epicenter of the world. You know, the Bay Area has more venture capital activity than any other area in the world. And so I think that there's a lot of, you know, students getting involved with that sort of community and maybe seeing other people within their close proximity doing new stuff and trying to piggyback off that, and just sort of a sense of competition but also collaboration, I think. And you also have, you know, Harvard and Boston there with the huge startup community.
Right.
UPenn is not far away from New York City, which is another huge, huge VC area, as well as University of Texas in Austin has had a huge jump in activity in the past few years.
Right. So it's a combination of the people they attract and almost the environment, the air they breathe, and to a certain extent. But I mean, the ubiquity of UC Berkeley and Stanford and on your list, and the post goes back to 2010, is pretty impressive.
And I recently read a little letter by the, I believe it was the president of the University of Michigan and Stanford Business School. I don't remember specifically, but basically they were saying that, you know, they're producing a lot more computer science majors and engineering majors, computer science being, I think, the most popular major at Stanford. And that sort of gives these students the ability to make things. You know? And right. I think that's an important thing to understand as well.
The actual ability to create something as opposed to just moving money around, or, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not that those aren't important things as well, but, you know, just sort of having that idea in your head and being able to make it something, I think is pretty cool.
Good point. Now, have you broken the data that you posted on this point? This is the top universities producing VC-backed entrepreneurs. Did you break it down at all into undergraduate and graduate degrees or specific majors? I mean, you alluded to the engineering and computer science link, if you will. But have you examined the data at all from that perspective?
For that particular post, it was only undergrad.
It was only undergrad, that post?
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So that one was only undergraduates. I didn't look at anything further as far as particular degrees go. I think the main reason why I didn't is because, you know, it's a blog post, and I wasn't trying to go into massive amount of depth.
Sure.
I don't want to bore people. So, but I would expect that if you sort of broke it out by higher level degrees, PhDs, and other things, MBAs, you would see likely some pretty similar results.
I wonder if you would see like different, like if you see the same percentage of if it would be proportional, the breakdown between different degrees. I would expect to see fewer bachelor's degrees on, you know, by a percentage basis. Bachelor of Arts degrees. I'd expect to see a lot of BS degrees. Mm-hmm. I'd expect to see a lot of MS degrees. I'm not sure I'd see a proportional representation of PhDs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. I think that's probably true. Yeah, I would expect that you'd have a lot of those BS, you know,
and
engineering
MS,
degrees.
Right.
And
some MBAs, a fair
yeah,
number of MBAs.
Yeah.
But if you were to take the whole pot, I'm just wondering in terms of like how many degrees are earned and how many go into entrepreneurship, I would expect to see a lot of BS and MS degrees and far fewer of the MA, the BA rather, the MA and the PhD. On this list, if you were to break it down. Anyway, there's a future blog post for you there.
Yeah. There's definitely many different ways I could come at the subject. It's just a matter of time, you know. So.
Right. I'm sure you have a few other things to do too. But,
yeah.
Now you've also researched the MBA programs that send the most MBAs to private equity and venture capital firms. Can you give us an overview? And again, I actually have the data on the screen, but can you give us an overview of what you found there?
Yeah, basically what I found is that, and to give a little bit of context for what that's actually looking at, is what I did is I took the top 200 private equity and venture capital firms based off of number of investments made in the past 5 years, just to sort of limit my data set a little bit. And then I looked at, of the people working at those firms who have MBAs, you know, where are they coming, where are those MBAs being produced? And basically what I found was that Harvard Business School, without a doubt, is dominating both of those with over a quarter, or right around a quarter, for both PE and VC. and then Wharton and Stanford are not far behind, and then we have, you know, some other notable business school names like University of Chicago Booth, Northwestern University, and so on. So, and there were several others below those as well, but I didn't include the names just based off of space and making something, making my charts look good. So,
okay. Well, I'm looking at the chart just to go over it quickly. It's 26.1%, as Andy said, over a fourth come from Harvard Business School. 11.2% come from Wharton, 7.7% from Stanford, 6.6% from Chicago Booth, and 5.6% from Kellogg, from Northwestern Kellogg. 42.7% are lumped into the other category. Now, Harvard's representation there is really striking. I mean, it's more than double the next closest program, which is Wharton.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that the top five are a surprise, and they account for about 60% of the professionals in private equity and venture capital. What about the approximately 40%, almost half, that attended other programs or perhaps don't even have an MBA? Would that indicate that if someone doesn't attend these top five, they still have a chance to end up in private equity or venture capital?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's clearly not unattainable if you don't go to one of these schools.
Right.
But also something that I should note for these charts is that this is actually only MBAs working
right
at those firms. So that extra 42% is also MBAs.
Oh, right. And, okay. I misspoke. You're right.
And so what I actually found is that about 35 to 40% of the professionals at those firms hold MBAs.
I see.
So this is slicing up that, you know, 35 to 40%.
Got it.
And I think that, you know, you might not think that that percentage is that high, but I think that one thing to keep in mind is this is looking at all position levels, and I would expect a large amount of those, you know, associates and vice presidents and analysts and stuff to go get an MBA at some point. Obviously, working at a private equity or venture capital firm is a good thing to put on your application to business school. So I think that it's, you know, it's not that everyone working at those firms has an MBA, but it's a pretty prevalent degree.
Right. And clearly, if you know that's what you want and you have the qualifications to aim for Harvard, Wharton, Stanford, Booth, or Kellogg, your chances of attaining your private equity or venture capital goal are probably higher if you go to one of those schools.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that just seems pretty clear. I think there are two lessons, again, from this pie chart I'm looking at. One is that if you are interested in going into private equity, venture capital after an MBA, or if that's why you want an MBA, you should aim at the top five schools that Andy's identified. And if you, for some reason, are not competitive, all is not lost. Because
right.
There's over 40% of people with MBAs at these firms did not attend those schools. Now, another, you know, critical factor in terms of getting a position in venture capital or private equity would be the work that you did in between your undergraduate school and your MBA. Have you looked at that at all?
I haven't specifically, but sort of, you know, anecdotally.
Okay.
The industry definitely hires from investment banks, obviously a lot of finance-based jobs.
Right.
So I would expect, if I were able to look at that data closely, sort of if you wanted to group like previous work experience by firm type, I would expect investment bank to be top of the list without a doubt.
Right. And then perhaps, and then what would be second, do you think?
It's hard to say, I guess. You know, maybe even having a job within the industry or startup. Yep, definitely, especially on the VC side.
Uh-huh.
You do see a lot of people coming in having been entrepreneurs themselves and then turning to the investment side. You see a fair amount of people working for large accounting firms and business consultancies and things like that.
Right. You might have another blog post there too.
Yeah.
I'm giving you so much work today, it's unbelievable.
I know, I got a lot of work to do.
Now, what are some of the lessons in your mind from the research that you've been doing, both these posts or any research aimed at early career folks like yourself?
You know, it's just, I don't know that I have a great takeaway for people like myself, but there's definitely identifiable places that you can go that will help you get into particular industries if that's what you're interested in, whether you want to start a company or whether you want to get into private equity or venture capital. You know, I think just getting yourself plugged into those particular universities, not that it's an easy thing to do by any means.
No.
That's
where we come in.
Yeah, right. But that can definitely help you get a leg up on the competition, you know. And I think I would suspect that in especially in the MBA arena, you know, it's, and what I continue to hear all the time is it is a lot about who you meet during your time in business school, and you know, making those connections, especially. So. Yeah, you know, if you can get yourself into one of those top programs, either undergrad or MBA or any other sort of graduate level degree, it's definitely going to open some doors for you for sure.
Right. Now, you have on PitchBook has a lot of resources, I noticed, and they all seem fairly recent for people considering careers in private equity and venture capital. Can you... I don't know if you're the one producing a lot of them or if your colleagues, or if it's a joint effort. It seemed to me like there were several names on the posts. But can you give us a little bit of insight into that?
Could you be more specific by any
sure.
chance?
Sure. I saw that you had some blog posts that were tagged Private Equity 101, Venture Capital 101. Obviously, you have these two posts that you wrote. I saw Friday 5, what do you want? Should you be doing?
Yeah.
How to get started in private equity is actually.
I think that those sort of posts that we've been doing are more aimed at just sort of getting people more knowledgeable about the industry overall.
Right.
You know, I think that it's not something that people really know a whole lot about. Obviously, it's private.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we're just trying to communicate the fact that there is a lot of information that we can offer about the industries that can help people in a lot of different ways, and also just kind of trying to communicate the fact that private equity and venture capital are incredibly prevalent in our society, you know, and there was an interesting series of blog posts that were done, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, and I forget the reporter's name, and she's based out of London, and she tried to live a week without, using anything that's private equity or venture capital backed, and she just had a heck of a time because basically everything that she was going to was touched by the industry in some way or another, you know, be it her favorite movie theater was owned by whatever investment firm it was, or the internet provider that she used, or the clothes that she was wearing. So, you know, that's one of our aims, is to sort of make it more known that it is such a a common, such a prevalent thing for all of us, but we just don't really hear about it all that much.
Because it is private, and somewhat, at least the reputation is that it's somewhat of a clubby world.
Yeah, very much so, absolutely.
Again, I think it's also seems to many people to be a rather arcane world, and says it might be hard to understand what exactly people are doing. And the final problem is I think it got a bit of bad press,
mm-hmm.
Not just as a result of the Romney campaign, but certainly as part of it, you know, part of the campaign against him.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's constantly things being written about the negative sides of private equity, especially. I think that people have a little bit more of a favorable view of venture capital just because it is sort of giving those young entrepreneurs, you know, more opportunities and creating new companies and jobs. But there is a lot of negative press about the way that private equity firms structure their deals using a lot of debt and things like that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely good things and bad things about the industry, and it's just kind of up to opinion, I suppose.
Right. Was the series that you mentioned, was it Becky Pritchard from the Wall Street
yes.
Journal?
Yes.
Yeah, I see it again. It was part of one of your, you know, one of these Friday Five, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I was preparing for the call, so I had it open on my screen.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, you sort of watch that and realize how sort of ingrained in society it is, you know.
Right. I'll take a look at it, and I'll include a link in the show notes in the show notes we have a section for related posts, so we'll include it there. Andy, I think we're almost out of time. Where can listeners learn more about PitchBook? And if you could, I assume it's pitchbook.com?
Yep, that's it. You can just go to pitchbook.com, and we have, we put out reports, mini reports every quarter, highlighting trends in the industry and all sorts of things. And you can also go to our blog at blog.pitchbook.com, where you can find, you know, we put out content daily. So there's, you can look at the old posts that I've written and some of the other things that my colleagues have written. And there's some great stuff, great insight in there if you're interested in the industry at all.
Definitely. No, there's a wealth of information there. And I would really recommend it to any of you who are considering private equity or venture capital, whether in terms of a career or ultimately hoping to raise some for a venture of your own. So, Andy, once again, thank you very, very much for joining us and for sharing your time and your insight. We'll include links in the show notes. As I mentioned, the show notes will be at info.accenture.com/36. That's just the number 36. Both to the URLs that Andy mentioned just now, as well as the accepted admissions resources I mentioned earlier. Listeners, thank you too for joining us for our 36th episode. As always, please share your feedback. 5-star reviews on iTunes are particularly welcome. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing lynda@accepted.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again it will be next week. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.